you available unto the Lord? Amen. We love the Lord tonight. Give him a hand clap of praise. Amen. Well, this is a little different for me. I was praying for what the Lord wanted me to lay, what the Lord would lay on my heart. To speak about tonight and preach. And I've been reading this book called Extreme Devotion. And I'm going to take some of these stories tonight, and I'm going to read. And by the end of this, I hope that we all feel a responsibility to be more extreme. And that's my title tonight, is An Extreme Christian. An Extreme Christian. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to turn to Matthew 6, verse 12. Joshua 24, verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the God of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You may be seated. This first story happened in England. Does anybody know who John Lambert was? I heard that name. I know a few probably have. Will you choose to live or die? What do you say? The questioner was Henry VIII, the King of England, who had unrestrained power in the land. The criminal who stood before him charged with heresy was John Lambert, a Greek and Latin tutor. Lambert audaciously challenged his pastor for delivering a sermon that didn't agree with Scripture. Lambert was brought before the Archbishop, and later before the King Henry. Lambert presented his case to an assembly of bishops, lawyers, justices, and peers. The two sides argued back and forth until Henry, bored with it, persisted Lambert with a final choice. After all the reasons and instructions of these knowledgeable men, are you now satisfied? Will you choose to live or die? What do you say? Lambert took a deep breath and answered confidently, I command my soul to the hands of God, but my body I give to you. You must die, Henry answered, for I will not be a pardon to heretics. Convicted of heresy, Lambert was burned at the stake. Lambert was unbowed in his slow, torturous death. He lifted up his hands in worship, declaring, None but Christ. None but Christ. Amen. That was an extreme Christian. When the rest of everybody else, he stood out. And he stood up for what he knew to be true. We as Christians, we have got to stand for the truth. An extreme Christian stands for what he believes and what the Word of God says. We can't be bowing down to other people. This man lost his life for his belief in Christ. He laid down his life for the truth. And in Luke 6, verse 35, but love your enemies and do good and lend hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. This happened in Russia. This was a man named Captain Marco. Soviet Captain Marco, what is it? Soviet Captain Marco snarled at the young boy. What do you want? The boy, only 12, swallowed his fear as he stood before the communist officer. Captain, you are the man who put my parents in prison. Today is my mother's birthday, and I always buy her a flower for her birthday. Since my mother taught me to love my enemies and to reward evil with good, I have brought the flower instead for the mother of your children. Please take it home to your wife tonight and tell her about my love and the love of Christ. Captain Marco, who had watched unmoved as Christians had been unmercifully beaten and tortured, was stunned at the act of love of this boy. His tears fell as he slowly walked around his desk and grabbed the boy in a fatherly embrace. Marco's heart was changed by the gift of Christ's love. He could no longer arrest and torture Christians, and soon he himself was arrested. 1 month, only months after the boy's visit to his office, Marco's slumped in a filthy prison cell, surrounded by some of the same Christians he had previously arrested and tortured. He tearfully told his cellmates of a young boy and the simple gift of a flower. He considered it an honor to share a cell with those he had previously hunted and attacked, all because one little boy showed the love of Christ. He won this man. The love of Christ. This boy was an extreme Christian. Against all odds, his parents being thrown in prison, possibly even killed. Many of them were killed for their faith in Christ. Truly, we are blessed to worship freely. We are blessed to worship freely in the house of God. Here in the United States, because in other countries, as we've heard several missionaries, it's not openly welcomed. Your people are persecuted for their faith in Christ. Are we extreme Christians tonight? Are we willing to face imprisonment for Christ? For standing up for the truth? There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Dr. Robert Bateman greatly helped his sister-in-law into the lifeboat. Don't be nervous, Anna. This will test our faith. I must stay and help the others. If we never meet again on this earth, we will meet again in heaven. Bateman handed his handkerchief to the woman as the boat dropped towards the dark, icy waters below. Put that around your throat, Anna. You'll catch a cold. Dr. Bateman then gathered about 50 men at the stern of the ship and told them to prepare for death. Earlier that day, he had conducted the only religious service on the large ship, Titanic. A service that ended with his favorite hymn, "Never, My God, Nearer, My God, to Thee." Robert Bateman had founded the Central City Mission in Jacksonville, Florida, a spiritual lighthouse in the city regularly full of drunken sailors. He had been called the man who distributes more human sunshine than any other Jacksonville. Bateman went to England to study Christian social work and was returning to the United States to put into practice what he had learned. However, late on the night of April 14, 1912, Bateman's ship struck an iceberg. Bateman led the men with him on the stern of the ship in the Lord's Prayer as the band played "Nearer, My God, to Thee." The great ship Titanic slid under the waves. I've heard stories of the Titanic my entire life, and I never heard this story until I read this book. And it made me realize, even when everything around us was going crazy, Dr. Bateman, he held on to Christ. When the chaos of this world is coming in, we have got to hold on to Christ. It seems like everything around us is just beginning to collapse. Everything is just beginning to just go against us. This world is against us. It is against Christ. There is more evil in today's world. Or it seems more evil. It's more rampant. It's more open. We have got to hold on to Christ. We have got to be an extreme Christian. We have got to be the people who stand up and begin to put a smile on our face, knowing that we are His. First and foremost, we are God's. We are His children. And we should be able to take courage and excitement and joy in the fact that He has come. He saved us by His death. And then He rose up again on the third day. And then He sent the Comforter. We should be able to take courage, even when things aren't going our way, when it seems like life is just crashing in and circumstances and the things that are coming in like a flood. We've got to begin to pull out what the Lord has done for us. What has the Lord done for you tonight? What has He done for you? He saved my soul. He put my feet on a higher rock. We can take courage in what God has done for us. We're called to be an extreme Christian church. To be extreme. You hear about David as he danced before the Lord. That is another example of an extreme Christian. He danced before the Lord. There's multiple people in the church that dance before the Lord. I've seen Brother Jason come off this platform. And you know how I know that he's full of the joy? Because he lets everybody else know that he's full of the joy. He doesn't keep it contained. David didn't contain himself before the Lord. We have got to begin to let, sometimes I feel like we restrain ourselves. I've been guilty of this. We restrain ourselves when we come into the house. We've got to be proper. We don't want people to think we're crazy. If the Lord is asking you to do something, go the extra mile. Be extreme in your worship. Surrender everything to Him. That act of faith. Hallelujah. Timothy 4:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This story is coming from Japan by a young man, 12 years old. This man was 12 years old, very mature. Once we read this, to find out how mature he was in Christ. The devotion. After they all had been tired, found guilty, and sentenced to die, 26 Christians were marched to the place where crudely made crosses stood. Almost 3 months earlier, they had been arrested in Kyoto, Japan, and was charged with following Christ. One of those convicts was named Han. Seeing how young Han was, an officer took him aside and urged him to recant his faith to save his life. Looking the official in the eye, Han said, "Sir, it would be far better if you yourself become a Christian, then you could go to heaven with me." The officer stared, startled by the young man's faith. Finally, Han asked, "Sir, which cross is mine?" The bewildered officer pointed to the smallest of the 26 crosses. Young Han ran to the cross, knelt before it, and embraced it. When the soldiers began to nail his hands and feet to the cross, he did not cry out in pain. He courageously accepted the path God laid out for him. The crucifixion of the 26 Christians on November 23rd, 1596, was the beginning of a period of intense persecution of millions of Japanese Christians. Millions would be killed for their faith. Many would embrace their own cross to follow the example of Han, a very mature 12-year-old boy, extreme Christian, at 12 years old, was willing to lay down his life for Christ, and witnessed many Christians off of just that 12-year-old boy's faith, kept their faith, that strengthened them. Church, when you do what God is asking for you to do, you help others. You are a light to others. When you yourself begin to act in the faith that you have, it begins to strengthen as a group. That is why it's very important for us Christians to be in the house of God. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves. It is very important. How much faith do we have in Christ? Do we have faith? Are we willing to be tortured? Are we willing to bear the cross for our Savior? who died for us for the truth. This world needs to see our faith in action. Our faith in action. If you have your Bibles, Matthew, you can turn or it'll be up on there. Matthew 12. Matthew 12 and verse 30. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. There were singing choruses when the two soldiers entered with rifles. The service came to a halt as the Russian soldiers stared at the believers with wild eyes. "What are you doing here?" they shouted. "Worshipping your imaginary God?" The church members cowered in the pews, wondering if there were more soldiers and more guns outside. "All of those who are faithful to God move to the right side of the church," said one of the soldiers, his face and mask of hatred. "You will be shot for your faith. You who wish to go home and keep your life, stand on the left side. You must decide to live or die. Those who are faithful to this God will die. Those who deny him will live freely." 10 minutes earlier, everyone had sung praises equally. Now it was a question of life or death. Some stood to the left, looking sadly or waving apologetically to those on the right. Some stood on the right, their eyes closed in last-minute prayers. "You on the left are free to go," one of the soldiers said. Moments later, those people filed out, taking one last look at those who would soon be dead. When only those on the right remained, the soldiers put down their weapons. "We too are Christians," they said, "but we worship without hypocrites. We worship without hypocrites." What side are we going to stand on tonight? What side are we going to stand on? God is not coming back for a bunch of hypocrites. I'm sorry to say. He's coming back for the faithful. For those who are in his army as soldiers. That are willing to fight the good fight of faith. Willing to be punished for their faith. Can I have a piano player? You can look at many other extreme Christians throughout the Bible. The disciples. You look at their lives. Look what they went through. The persecution that they felt. That they went through. The torture. Church, it's going to take an extreme Christian to make it through this world. An extreme devotion to Christ. An extreme prayer life. An extreme Christian. We have to be extreme. There are people that need us to be extreme. Our families are depending on us to be extreme. We have to stand for our faith. We have to fight the good fight of faith. We got to stand for what is right. Now, as everybody is standing tonight, got one last one. I'm gonna read. This one's really spoke out to me the most. Philippians 2:13. "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." A young girl, my dress, the young girl murmured. Her words slurred through the swollen lips. "Please give me my dress. I want to hold it." The Christians surrounding the girl's bed were sad because of her extensive internal injuries. Doctors could do nothing for her. Weeks ago, the believers bought her a white dress to celebrate her new life and pure heart in Christ. Her father had not been pleased with his daughter's decision to follow Christ. One night, in a drunken rage, he attacked his daughter, beating and kicking her. He left her lying in the muddy streets to die. When she did not show up for church, her Christian friends went looking for her. They found the unconscious girl laying in a heap. Her formerly snow-white dress, now covered in blood and mud. She was brought to the doctor, but her injuries were severe. Now, she was asking for her dress. "The dress is ruined," her friends told her. They tried to talk her out of it, thinking that seeing the ruined dress would break down the girl's spirit. When the simple faith of a 10-year-old girl, she whispered, "Please, I want to show the dress to Jesus." He was willing to believe her. "I just want Jesus to know I was willing." This world is extreme. As we're coming around these altars to pray, ask yourself something. Are we where we want to be? The very definition of extreme. Reaching a high or the highest degree. Very great. Furthest from the center orbit of a given point. Outermost. We've got to be extreme tonight. We've got to walk an extreme life. Let's have a time of prayer.